sometimes. Right, off we go. Brian June.
Yes, I have no Google Glass for you this year. Probably next year, as I received some new funding for the Google Glass project, so I will be back with a pair of glasses. But this is not about smart glasses, this is about regular glasses. So this the title changed from the program, but the topic and the theme of my talk is more or less the same. And I'm Brian, I'm from the Denmark University of Copenhagen. So the title is The Order of Passings, the accomplishment of a passing for the here and now purpose in eyeglass shops. And of course this is a very, you can say, ambitious title, but this just, I think it's fun to go along with ambitious titles and then see how it goes. So just bear with me. And when you look at passings, I think it's interesting to just to think about it just a while, because I think we have passings in all sorts of settings, both in work life settings and in private life settings. And you can think about passings not as just some ordinary thing, like just a thing that has no meaning, but it's a very constitutive element of being a human being, being able to pass an object from one person to another person. So it's about coordination, it's about human interaction and intersubjectivity. And it's very important to be able to pass an object the correct way, because if you lose an object, it could be a problem on different scales, depending on, you know, what kind of object you are dropping. And if it's surgery, it can have severe consequences, but in other kinds of settings, dropping of objects may also be problematic. So this is just some pictures of different types of passings. I will just return to some of the research in a moment. But just to say that my research on passings are from eyeglass shops. We collected a huge amount of data from five different shops in Denmark, eyeglass shops, more than 500 hours of video recordings, a huge amount of interviews, observational data, following customers and employees in the shops. And these kind of mappings are researchers doing mappings of customers' behavior in the shops going along, and we have used fixed cameras in each shop and also handheld cameras going along with the customers and the employees in order to capture everything possible. So it's been very interesting, and we have like huge amount of data. So, but we call this interactional touch points, that is to identify the touch points during this journey that customers go through, and call them interactional touch points. And we call it trust journeys, because we think that it's very interesting to look at customers' behaviors in shops through the lens of trust, because it's very important to build trust to the customer. Otherwise, the customer will probably not buy a pair of glasses. So looking at it through the lens of trust is an interesting thing to do. And how is trust built action by action? So this is one of the overall things we are interested in. So just to give you a very brief, very short understanding of the type of data, I will return to this later on. Everybody forgets the sound. Okay. I will return to this later on. So, just some brief remarks from starting points. We consider this to be a rich local environment with many different semantic resources, a lot of things going on. It's a hand, the use of gaze, the use of head, movement, object, etc. We'll also see this as a multi-activity settings with different activities going on at the same time, a lot of cooperative action, participants cooperatively trying to accomplish this path in different ways. Trust is established action by action in these kind of microecologies. That's also a starting point. And one of the things interesting to look at, the customer satisfaction may depend on the successfulness of these microecologies. So if you have many passings going wrong, the customer might lose trust to the optician and then eventually maybe not buy a pair of glasses. So that's just the perspective on it from a business perspective. And the frameworks, I don't want to go through this, but it's EMCA work based on objects, the work on objects. I'm particularly inspired by the work by Christian Heath on passings. He presented at in Basel in June, passing moments. He looked at the microecologies and the exchange of instruments during surgical procedures. And that inspired me to look at my data from the same kind of perspective, because I have a lot of passings going on. So that's interesting. Also, EMCA studies of shop interaction has inspired me, of course, inspired this work, and actions in optometry consultations, which we also have that's in academia. You always only know people's last name. So, the work on the consultation rooms where customers try out glasses or get their eyesight measured. But the kind of data I'm looking at is not in the optometry consultations, but in the shop area. But we also have a lot of data from the consultation area. So So this is the background, theoretical background for this kind of study. And of course, I could have mentioned other studies. Now let's look at the data. I have tried to do some kind of systematic analysis of it, trying to find different instances of this kind of different kinds of passings, and I will try to collect them in my concluding remarks. But just let's go through the different examples. The first ones I call coordinated hand-to-hand passings. Let's look at an example. I just played quickly and then go through it slowly. Okay, so I have very short examples. I will do my analysis by showing the video at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I will just walk you through it. I have a transcript I will show later on, but I think it's more interesting to look at it like this. Okay, so you have to pay attention. So we have the customer standing left and the optician standing right. They are at this point measuring the different glasses in shape, and then we have the optician standing right, turning the glasses around, getting ready, moving into the object into a passing position with the temples pointing towards the customer. The customer putting down the glasses, getting ready to receive the glasses. We have the optician, and she is now holding with two hands, now letting go of one hand. She is with a precision grip holding on to the glasses temple, one of the temples, pointing towards the customer. There, this is a very smooth passing. It's very easy for the customer to take the glasses, and she goes in with both her hands. She grabs the temples there, and then we have, if you watch the optician, her body is leaning forward towards the customer, and her hand is following the customer's hand
just slightly, and there she's letting go. And there we have the passings. So this is what I just an example of very smooth, coordinated passing from the optician to the customer, and how this is accomplished through the way of holding the glasses and pointing the temples toward the customer. I have another example, and this the first one. I call this the professional passing because it is the professional who is accomplishing or initiating the passing. Now we have what I call a layman passing. This is another example. The customer is standing left and the optician is standing right. Sorry about that. No, I can't do that. Okay, I don't have time. I will just go through it then. Okay, we have the so the customer standing left, the optician standing right. They're talking about the glass, the shape of the glass. And she says, "Oh, I don't like the color. It's like this." And she leans backwards, like showing that she don't like the color. It's like right in her face. Right in her face, she says. Okay, the optician goes, okay. "But you like that shape the most," she says. "Yes." And then, this is the interesting part. How is this kind of passing accomplished? So the customer is holding the glasses with the spectacles away from the optician. So this is a hard way to this is difficult to grab the glasses. So we have the optician in a very finely coordinated way going in across the customer's arm, grabbing the temples at the same spot just as the other one did at the corner of the temple. There. And if you watch, the customer is already looking away. She's not orienting towards the glasses anymore. And then we have the smooth delivery anyway. So there's no problem. And I think these kind of situations are very interesting because the customer is not orienting with her eyes. She's not gazing at the passing, but it is still accomplished. So this is, I guess, partly due to the fact that the optician is a competent person doing this, but also about peripheral vision going on, and also about the tactile experiences. So the customer and the optician are both feeling the movement in the glasses, and they are aware through this tactile experience when one has to let go and the other has to grab it. I think so, at least. And it goes on there, the same kind of situation, letting go. Okay, so this is how I try to describe, transcribe this kind of data. In this case, they were saying something, you couldn't hear it. I don't want to go through it, just to show how I try to transcribe this with a lot of pictures. Of course, this is a multimodal setting, so you have to focus on all the embodied stuff, which is what I'm doing. So, we also have uncoordinated hand-to-hand passings. So now we have the customer standing right and the optician standing left. Now see how the customer is. I don't think if you can see it, but okay. But he's holding the glasses also, as in the another case before, in an awkward way, in a non-normal way. They are both looking at the glasses. Now we have the optician going up, ready to grab the pair of glasses with two hands. So I think this is very interesting because normally they will try to grab it with their fingers, and now we have two hands going up, and this is
I think because the customer is holding the pair of glasses in a way which is difficult for him to grab somehow.
So he's responding to that way of holding the pair of glasses, and then he decides not to grab them in that way anyway. He goes up, he grabs the temple of the glasses, mm-hmm. but as you will see here, boom, the glasses goes down anyway, and the customer orient towards the wall. He's not looking at the passing anymore. However, the optician is very much focused on the passing still, because it is almost going wrong, because they are dropping, and he needs to be paid a lot of attention to the glasses so they will not drop on the floor. And there it goes, and I think this is, and we have the delivery. So
this kind of uncoordinated. So we have the optician very much focused on how to accomplish this passing, and as soon as the optician goes in and grabs the glass, somehow we have the customer orienting towards different parts of the whatever is going on. So this is they are both clearly oriented towards securing the passing, with the optician as somehow responsible for the passing. I don't know what is my time?
No, 7 minutes.
Okay. So this is also uncoordinated hand-to-hand professional passing. We have the customer standing left and the optician standing right.
Okay, she's here, she's getting ready, both hands. She's holding the glasses just as I the same systematically ways as the other optician did, on the temples in the corner, pointing towards the customer, getting ready to do the pass, and then the customer comes in with one hand grabbing the temple and then the other hand, and you would say, okay, he's ready to take the glasses, but oopsie, almost dropping the pair of glasses because the customer had to do something with his phone. He was not able to actually receive the pair of glasses. So we have some kind of action repair going on in this kind of embodied sequential environment. And this is a very unhappy situation for the optician, because maybe hard to see, but she's actually holding onto the glasses with her dirty fingers right now, and you don't want to do that. And she quickly tries to save them, and she moves her fingers out on the temples in the corner again, getting ready to do the same kind of passing she wants to do, orienting towards what the customer is doing. He's getting ready to do the delivery, and there we have the smooth delivery of smooth passing the next time, through the same kind of tactile experience, I think. So this is what those situations, passings from hand to hand, are performed in following Edward T. Hall's work on distances, in what we call the far intimate distance, that is standing in an arm's distance. But I also looked at the close intimate distance. And those kinds of passings are what I call hand-to-face passings. And those are actually probably the most interesting kind of passings. So these are all the passings going on where opticians have their hands up close in the customer's face. And this is a very normal thing to do. So here we have the customer is sitting down, and we have the optician with the back pointing towards you. And she is adjusting the glasses, moving her hair, and then just on the other side, shivering the customer, lifting her hair, and then again shivering the customer to the other side, fitting it, and then grabbing the glasses, and the customer, which is, I call the some kind of embodied collaboration, because the customer, she's freeze. I think this is very interesting to look at. She's freezing. We have many of the instances where the customer freeze in this kind of intimate space, intimate distance situations. but the customer still collaborate on the delivery of the glasses, as you see here, with her face nodding towards, and then she goes out, and then afterwards adjusting her hair. And this is just a minor observation, but I have to look more into that. Almost all of my instances of this kind of intimate distance interactions, we have customers, after they have been touched somehow, doing some kind of repair on themselves, which is very interesting. And then we have the last one, uncoordinated hand-to-face passings. That was the first one I showed you. So, okay, you, okay, this one. Yeah, that was that one. So this is to go, the customer, the optician comes in, adjusting the glasses very close. We have
counted how many times he blinks in this short sequence. 17 out of 18 times he blinks is where the optician hands is in actually touching in her face. So we have a lot of this blink as some kind of repair initiation of something very uncomfortably going on.
That she takes him on, and this is now the interesting part comes there. Okay, so she's getting ready to put them on the customer. The customer blinks, blinks, blinks. She comes up with her hand actively there, and she says something like
whispering some kind of very low volume. You ever said, I want to put them on myself
at the same time. So this is where we, in the other situations, in intimate space, distance, have some kind of freeze situation where customers freeze when they are approached in the face. We have these other kind of uncoordinated situations where customers kind of fight. So this is the freeze-fight distinction. We know from some kind of psychology research, I think it's interesting to look at. And actually she fights against this, putting on the glasses on her head. So, altogether, all the different types of passings I've looked at, I think it's possible to put them in this kind of a matrix, going from the coordinated passing on the left to the uncoordinated passing on the right, where the coordinated passings are some kind of embodied alignment and intercorporeal knowing. They are aware of what is going on, and on the other hand, embodied disalignment or intercorporeal not knowing. And then we have the hand-to-hand types of passings, which are accomplished in far intimate space, and then we have the hand-to-face, which are accomplished in close intimate space. And this gives us four different types of actions: coordinated hand-to-hand, uncoordinated hand-to-hand, which I've shown you, coordinated hand-to-face, and uncoordinated hand-to-face. And within the coordinated hand-to-hand, I think it is possible to look at who initiate the passing. So is it the professional or is the layman who initiate the passing in both types of situations? And I think it's interesting also to look at this, as I just mentioned, about the difference between the close intimate distance and the far intimate distance, where we have in the hand-to-face situations where customers either active fight against or passive make a freeze when they are approached, and in the hand-to-hand it's more like collaborating or being just simply unaware or orienting towards other stuff. Yes, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Great, let's have a couple of minutes for discussion about that. Thoughts, observations, and another time, see what else is around. Helena West.
Yeah, sorry, Helena.
Thank you very much. I think there's some really interesting comparisons with the work that Christian has done inside the optician's consultation. And I was really interested in the stuff about the hand, the face. And when we looked at the placing of the lens in front of the patient's eye, we looked in detail at sort of the shape of the gesture in which the lens is placed. So you said that it's, you know, putting glasses on someone's face is very normal in an optician setting, but it's extremely unusual in any other setting,
yes,
that something is moved towards your eye. So there's a lot of really careful work in terms of helping the patient to prepare for it arriving in their face. And when we look at the lens placement, we noticed that there was a kind of a very particular trajectory that opticians used when they place the lens in front of the eye. So you have this kind of arc with the lens being brought up and then placed down. And this trajectory was projected very early on in the optician's movement. And we noticed that by traveling this kind of extra distance, it gave the patient time to prepare for the arrival of this object in front of the eye. So I was wondering if you could talk a bit more about what you noticed about the kind of shape of the movement the optician uses when they place the glasses on the patient's face.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, I completely follow you, and I would, but I think it's that there are differences. But I have data from the consultation area as well, and it is more like a doctor-patient kind of situation, where they have the equipment and they are usually more oriented towards the situation as being some kind of. And you said patient yourself, right?
Yeah.
So they are not patient, but yeah, that's interesting. But when they are in the shop area, I think what if some of all this data is going, this project is going on, and the shops want to know about how to become better doing these different things. And one of the things that I think we are going to focus on going further is how not using any kind of prediction when putting glasses on people's head. So they are just going in many of the instances. And I think that's different from the consultation area, because I see more kind of interactional work going on there. And I think it's interesting to look at it in terms of being professional, because when you are like too professional and you do this too much, you just put them on.
Yeah. Well, we're thinking of another question for Brian. I think Liz will come up and put on some photos of the winning contenders. So while that's happening, more thoughts about the opticians. Yes, Tom.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I like this very much. Just one observation. I understand why you talk about coordinated and uncoordinated. But I was glad to see in one of your last slides that you actually presented it more as a continuum,
yeah, exactly,
rather than as a dichotomy. Because you, of course, you see lots of coordination going on, especially when it goes wrong.
But what's interesting is that in all my data, I've never seen a pair of glasses actually fall to the. so they are able to do a lot of repair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fiona first, and then.
I thought it's fantastic. Really resonated actually, but I'm really interested in that business about putting glasses on to somebody. And partly because we have a lot of experienced opticians with our glasses in our hands. And it always resonated because the optician is always really, there is an optician who always verbalises this and says, the only people who can put glasses on people are themselves, and always hands them. And I just thought that was absolutely fascinating. And when you showed that kind of myth, kind of thing, it just really resonated with the way in which it worked. And the fact that we're talking about training them, and it just made me think about why that was happening, why that person actually verbalised that, in my experience, whether that was about the fact that it's a misnomer or whether it's something to do with some kind of training, that I can't go any further than that. But I felt that it really resonated with what I could see happening.
Yeah.
Eric, final thought?
I thought a bit another nice bit about this is into not just passing, but passing in the work of selling and trying objects, so that basically part of what's being done there is building up customers' choice and preferences and so on in the handling of glasses,
yeah,
and how they're received and how they're handled.
Yeah, there's a lot of decision making going on in these kind of situations.
Good. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you.